Let me tell you real quickly, Brother Sid Grant comes to us. He's the director of the missions department at Hope Sound. Used to be the director of HIM for a while. And Brother Grant, I love to, I don't know if you'll share any of this tonight, but I love to hear you tell your story about how God brought you from the depths of an engine room of a ship and caused his life to be totally changed and then brought him to Bible college and training and all that kind of stuff. I've been to the island of Roatan, Honduras, where Brother Sid Grant's family is from, and I am never ceased to be amazed about the miracles that God can work in our lives. So Brother Sid Grant, come introduce your group to us, and we'll enjoy learning about these young people and their call of God.
Thank you, Pastor Jonathan. It's good to be back at Thomasville and good to reconnect. Obviously, I'm very closely connected and appreciate the Heath family. And I think the two younger boys are my pager. There you go. And we've connected with these two young boys, and I'm very proud of them. God has called them and using them in the ministry of music. I trust that your ministry would continually to be successful. Well, it's good to be here and once again to share with you what God is doing in missions. This is the first time I've been here in this context. I've been here sharing in missions and preaching and so forth, and not knowing exactly what to do when we decided to come to North Carolina, of all places, to get a missions experience. Well, you'd say, why North Carolina for missions experience? Well, the last couple of days probably proved why. We were in different places, and one of the places we've been was out northwest, I guess it would be Boone. We went to Samaritan Purse. We got connected with them through some other circumstances, classroom. And so we decided to go there to give our students some exposure to what God is doing in missions through another medium. And it's exciting what we've discovered. We have learned to appreciate what God is doing in other organizations that's not part of our context, and learned to appreciate that. And so I believe our students were also inspired and impacted by how broad and vast God's work is beyond what we know. And then we've been to the Bill Graham Library. But yesterday morning, or yesterday actually all through the day, we went to what is called, I guess, the migrant flea market. And just, we didn't have enough time, but we went there and there were people from all over the place and we were able to engage a little bit of cross-cultural and a little bit of on a one-to-one speaking to people. And then yesterday afternoon, the Archdale Church, one of HIM, whom missionary Micah Litchfield, she organized the cross-cultural connection for us. And it was just amazing. We were able to sit in the living room and had meals from what? Was seven different countries, I think it was, something like that. From all the way from, we had, I think Thailand was there. We had people from Pakistan, from Syria. And so we sat there in the living room of our brother, engaging in probably what we would not get if had we gone to Costa Rica or Guatemala. We got it all at one setting. And it was just amazing listening because there was a Q&A, getting in contact and hearing exactly what these people, who they are and what they believe. And so I think, you know, sometimes we think America is, you got to go overseas to get a missions experience, but we got it yesterday. Latino and Middle Eastern and African, all of Uganda was there and so forth. It was just amazing. And so I was grateful that we had that opportunity to get that connection. And our missions department that it had originally been called is now called Intercultural Studies. And sometimes they have to correct me because I'm from the old school missions department. Anyway, but that's what it's called, Intercultural Studies. And the reason for that is because it's more relevant. It's kind of give you a connection and context of what we actually are doing. And one of the things that the Lord helped us to do when I joined the department and to try to come up with something that would, at least in my own mind, how I could share with people. Because sometimes, you know, what's in the missions department for me? What am I going to get? Is it just another academic program? Well, we want it to be high academically, and we try to do that. But we want it to be as practical as possible. And so we came up with a little slogan that as we talk with young people is simply this: come, connect, learn, grow, serve, go. That's the context. We want young people to come to Hope Zion and connect. Connect with mentors, with teachers, with the ministers there, and then connect with all the experiences that are available for them right on our campus through the different ministries that are there. But we want our young people also to learn about Jesus, to learn about great truth in the Bible. We want our young people also to learn about what God is doing around the world. And so as we do that, we want them to grow in what God is doing in their own lives, and also want them to grow in the fact that God is wanting to use them to be agents of change. It's one of the things that in our day we realize that sometimes missionaries graduate and they don't know where they're going. It is our hope and goal and prayer that God would help these young people as they go through the program, that they would know what, at least what they're supposed to be doing, because there's a lot of work out there, and then we want them to serve and then eventually go to where God wants them. But they don't have to wait till they graduate to go and serve. They're doing that right now. As we prepare them and have to develop them, they're serving and they're going. And we believe that as they go on TLC, as they go out on these trips, they're going to get connected and to learn and to serve and to go. So I trust that you'll pray for them. And what we're going to do tonight, have them come and share with you. Three of them are going to come and share their testimony with you. And they're going to also sing. So I'm going to ask Janessa, she's going to come and share her testimony and following which they're going to sing at this time. And she'll tell you more or less what she's doing. I don't want to take away her thunder.
Well, it's so great to be here with you guys this evening. I love coming here because of all the many people that I've met and the friends that I have here. But I must say, I did not expect to be behind the pulpit at this church. That's a little strange to me. But as I was getting ready to prepare for my testimony tonight, there are a couple of verses that came to mind, and I'm going to be sharing those throughout my testimony. But I was blessed to be able to grow up in a Christian home in Michigan, which is still quite a ways from here, and especially from Florida. But I was blessed to grow up there with a wonderful Christian family, as well as extended family that were all Christian. And so I grew up in a wonderful home that with a lot of Christian experience there and Christian influences around me. But it was still hard where I was because I was continually in public school, and that made a big difference in my life. And that brought a lot of other opportunities my way that were not exactly in God's will. But I am also blessed to say that God saved me at a young age of 7. And from that point on, I knew that God was working in me and that he had gave me a passion for people and a passion for those around me and that he wanted to work in my life. And I was very willing to follow what he was wanting me to do, although I did not always know what that was. And as Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. And that's what I've been doing. That's what he's been doing. He has been directing me in the path that I needed to go, even when I didn't understand what he was doing. Like I said, from the time I was young, God had given me a passion for people. And I had always wanted to share my faith with others. I wanted to share my faith with my fellow students at my public school and with my teachers. And although that was my passion, I did not have any interest in being a school teacher. I had no interest in being a missionary. I had no interest in being a counselor. That's just not what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a veterinarian, and that's what I wanted to be until my sophomore year of high school. But as that verse says, do not lean on your own understanding, lean on God's, and his plans were different for my life. As Psalms 37:4 says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. And a lot of the time we think that that means, okay, well, whatever I want, God will give it to me. But no, it means that God will give you the desires that he wants you to have in your life. And I can see in my life, looking back, the way that he has changed my desires and has given me the desires that he wanted me to have. In 2013, I went on my first TLC trip to Alaska. And while we were there, we went into an Indian village that was way out in the mountains called Tetland. And while we were out there, we got to work with those children. We did some VBSs out there. And I saw how much just a little bit of love, a little bit of God's love and his forgiveness and his grace can make a huge difference in a child's life. Those children were in a place that their village was very... they were very impoverished. I feel like that's not the right word. But they lived in a lot of poverty. And you could see how just a little bit of love changed their lives so much. And I remember as we were leaving, we had to leave early. And those kids came up to us and they said, well, you'll be back next week, right? And we had to look at them and say, well, I don't think so, honey. I don't think we'll be able to come back. And they're like, well, you'll come back later, though, won't you? Like, you'll be able to come back again. And it was so heartbreaking to be able to say, well, I don't know. I don't know what God's going to do there. And as we were leaving, those kids chased our bus as we left out that village, and it was so hard to watch. But that just showed that God was working and that he loves those children, and he reminded me of that. And it was on that trip that God spoke to me about missions for the first time. I had never wanted to be a missionary, as I said. Whenever I was in mission services, I liked hearing the stories, but I always thought, no, I do not want to be a missionary. I do not want to go far away from home. I want to stay right where I'm at, and I want to stay with my family. But again, God's plans were different. When I moved to Hope Sound with my family about 5 years ago, once again, God spoke to me about missions in a youth service. And that continued to change my life. I did not know what God had planned. I didn't know what he wanted me to do. But I knew that I could trust him, that I could work in whatever he gave me to do. When I was a senior at the academy down there, I had the opportunity to start working at the public school system there in Hope Sound. And once again, that is something that completely changed my life. While I was there, a friend of mine had asked, well, you should come work with us. Like, you can come with me to work and see if it's something you would like. And I fell in love with it right away. I fell in love with those kids and what they were doing there. And as I started working there full time, I saw, once again, how God can work even in the littlest circumstances just by giving a little bit of love. It can change those kids' lives. And while I was there, God continued to speak to me, and he showed me a passion for that and a passion for going into the public school system and to kids that do not know God. I was not able to share it vocally with them, but just showing them God's love, they knew I was different. They knew that my friends from the Bible college that were teaching there were different. And you could see that in the way that they interacted with us versus the way that they interacted with those that were not Christians. And I was not planning on ever being an elementary school teacher. When people would ask me when I was younger if I would want to be a teacher, I said, no, I am not a morning person. I do not want to get up in the morning and go to school the rest of my life. But once again, God's plans are different. And Proverbs 22:6 has been a verse that has spoken to me so many times. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not stray from it. And I have learned the importance of that, how teaching children at a young age can be so important in whether they end up serving God or not. I don't know where God's leading me exactly. I don't know what he wants me to do. He could be sending me to another country to work in orphan ministry, or he could be sending me to work in a school in another country, or he could be calling me just to have public school system as my mission field. But I know that whatever he calls me to do, I know that he is working, that he has a perfect plan, and that he will continue to lead me as he has been, and I am trusting him with that, and I know that he will use me for his glory, and that he will continue to work. And I'm so thankful for that truth tonight. All right. Well, this song we are going to be singing is one that I had learned on that TLC trip I talked about to Alaska, and it's one that has spoken to me in many ways, and I know that it's one that has spoken to the rest of my classmates as well, and it is definitely my testimony ever since I learned it, and I know that it's their testimony as well, and we pray that you just listen to these words, and I hope that it speaks to you. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Robin Palmer. I am the president of the Missions Department. I come from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and it's very good to be here with you all tonight. I can say that little by little, from the very beginning of my life, God was already placing the pieces of my puzzle into the spots he thought best. He allowed me to be adopted into a good Christian home, and I was raised in church and knew very well what it meant to be a Christian. I realized, though, that just because my mom was a Christian, that it did not make me a Christian automatically. And I had to ask Jesus to be a part of my life. And as a small child, I can remember the exact moment when I asked Jesus into my heart and just the happy feeling that I got and the peace that God gave me. And I'm so thankful for it. And as I said, God was already placing pieces of the puzzle of my life together. There were two pieces of my puzzle that I was not willing to give up to God, and that was the piece that had college written on it and future. I had the college in mind I wanted to go to, and I had my future kind of planned out of what I wanted to do. But I'm so thankful that God saw fit to lead me and to not let me go with my own plans. In 2017, I went on my first missions trip to Honduras, and it really changed my life. It gave me a passion for people around the world and opened my eyes to a greater need. And on that trip, I went with TLC, and that's an organization that's based in Hope Sound. And while I was down there, we stayed on the campus of Hope Sound Bible College, and nobody was there. It was empty, but there's just something different about Hope Sound, and it's a good different. God is always, yeah, it's a good one, to clarify that. God is so there. Like, I just sensed his presence there, even while there was no welcome week, there was no red carpet, there wasn't PR groups trying to PR me. It was just me and God. And I'm so thankful that that God led me there. As for missions, I've always wanted to be a missionary, ever since I can remember. I remember preaching to my siblings all the time. I'm sure they really enjoyed that. And after getting back from Honduras, I kind of fought with the Lord on it, because I really don't want to move that far away from my family to go to talk to people like in foreign countries, and I was really scared about that. But I'm thankful that I was able to surrender that over to God. And currently, I am a double major at Hope Sound Bible College in the Elementary Education and Missions Department. And through that, I have been able to travel to many different countries, and I've been able to teach and get a real passion for it. And I'm just thankful for the leading of God in my life. And I can say that it is more than worth it to give God control of your life. His faithfulness and grace will come through every single time. You will get to do things you never dreamed you get to do. In the summer of 2018, I went to South Africa and worked with some orphan kids over there, and that just did my heart some good. Something that I've learned is God's will is not to just throw away some of the ideas that we have for our life. A lot of people get the idea that if they surrender over to God, then they lose everything that they wanted to do. But God is so merciful and graceful, and he will allow you to do some of the things that you still want to do. I thought becoming a Christian stuff, I wasn't going to be able to do some things I wanted to do, like travel and other things, and I've gotten to do that, and I'm thankful that God is a loving and faithful God. So I can say that giving your life over to God is something that is worth it, and you won't regret it. And I'm thankful for his faithfulness.
Good evening. Again, my name is Isaiah Palmer. I am the president's brother, actually. So I am also from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I am a major in missions. I plan to go into aviation soon, but I don't know right now where God wants me to go. But as the song said, as we just sang, "Lead me, Lord, I will follow." And I don't know where or when, but I know that God wants me to be in missions. This past June, I went to Romania, and what we did there was we worked with the kids, and when they were so excited when we played volleyball and stuff, they were singing the songs that we taught them, that like God is so big, is so strong and so mighty, and it's like that is awesome. Like some kids here maybe don't do that, but like them, like they want to be a part of this, and so I have a heart for missions, but I just don't know where God is leading me right now. But in choir, we sing a song that is titled "I Am God," and in there is a line said, "Stand still and know that I am God." I am so glad tonight that there is a God who will take our worries and our pain and everything that we have and just lead us in the right direction, and that we don't have to just kill ourselves over worrying about what we're going to do the next day, that we can just hand everything over to God and that he takes everything away.
Thank you, young people, for that reminder of each one of us saying yes to the Lord. As they were singing that, my mind went back to at least, 40 years ago, 30 years ago, 35, somewhere back, real, real far back. It was in the month of October in 1982 in Trinidad and Tobago, and the Lord spoke to me. I didn't have much understanding of anything about Christianity, except that I know that I was a Christian. I was born again. I knew that much. But God spoke to me and asked if I would preach his word. It was almost audible. And I said no. Just plain as that. But the voice of the Lord in my mind was so strong that I yielded to whatever that was, not understanding it. And I said, God, whatever you want me to do, I'm yours. I'm willing to do it. I didn't know what that would entail. And then immediately following that, I remember distinctly in a corridor of the engine or the ship below deck, there's this bearded young Trinidadian coming towards me, and God said, that's your first congregation right there. I didn't know what to say, except I ask him one question, do you know Jesus? And he looked at me and he said, how strange. My wife is a Christian. My mother-in-law is a Christian. And I'm not. And I was thinking about, I should be a Christian too. And here are you asking me if I am. And we talked. I didn't know much what to say except tell him that Jesus loved him and he had a plan for his life, and I prayed with him. I don't know what happened. I haven't seen him since. That was in the month of October in 1982. Well, from then to here, it was a long path, long way, winding path, but here we are. And I could go back before that, and Brother Pastor Jonathan mentioned about Rotan. I think you've been, I saw some pictures with you, your father-in-law, and my brothers that you took right there where I was, where I lived, in the little rocky seacoast of Rotan, a little humble, primitive community. But God has a unique way of pulling people out of nowhere and giving them his purpose for life. And I feel that's simpler what he has done for me, because I don't have any background of anything except. And I used to tell people this, somebody prayed for me. Someone somewhere in Christian history prayed for me, maybe not by name. I had an uncle, or I've been told I had an uncle. His name was Sidney. Sidney Welcome. That was the last name of my dad's family. And his mother's side. Right? And he was a preacher. And I used to like to tell people, maybe my Uncle Sidney said, Lord, my next family generation, would you call someone to do what I'm doing? I'm hoping that's the case. But somebody prayed for me, undoubtedly. And here we are trying to share with young people what God is wanting for them in their lives. And I'd just like to take a few moments by sharing with you. Is it okay to show my iPad off? Is it okay? All right. Just want to make sure, because, you know, some places it may not be too okay. It's a black screen, all right? And I'm going to just touch this, and you can't see it. What do you see there? You see a ship? All of you can see a ship? All right. So you're still nothing now. All right. It's there. All right. The ship name is Inagua Sound. This is the ship where I was born again, right on board the ship. All right, I was on the way to South America, and there's a lot of pre-circumstances that led up to that point. But I was on the way to South America with some other ideas, some other plans. I had just lost my mother. I was engaged to get married to a young lady from my country, and that just 3 days prior to that event, she decided to call off the wedding. Everything was set. I had my wedding. Everything was set. She had her gown. I had my suit and everything, and she decided to call it off, and 3 days later on, I got a telegram that my mother was very sick, got to Honduras, and we found out she was dead. She was gone. And so that was a turning point. That was a turning point. When I got back to the ship, a young friend, seamate, that was actually from the same country, same island. My wife is from Turks and Caicos Island. He was a sailor. He was a first assistant. I was second assistant engineer on the ship. And he had gone home. He had gone home on vacation, got married. And he came back to ship. I didn't know where he was, but God in his providence led us and connected us. And it was back, it was in the month of January of 1980. The month of January 1980. I got back to West Palm Beach to my company. And when I got there, the company was not ready for me. And he said, my boss said, well, we don't have a ship for you, but there's a ship that's going to Houston, Texas. And I want you to, they didn't want to pay a hotel for me, so they put me on a ship where I can work. I said, okay, well, you know, they didn't realize what was happening, but God did. And so I got on this ship in the cabin with my friend. And the first thing I realized when he came that evening, as I was getting ready to rest, he came in the cabin and he said, "Sydney, it's so good to see you." And then he said, "Sydney, Jesus loves you." Well, I was shocked because he's not a Christian, or at least he wasn't. He had gone home and he had gotten saved. And this is what I want to focus on tonight, the power of a witness for Christ. The power of a witness for Christ. My friend didn't know much about Christianity like me, but he knew that Jesus saved him, and he was a witness of that. And he said, "Jesus loves you." Okay, I got it. But the interesting thing about it was 3.5 days steaming to Houston, that was being the language of the room. He continually communicated to me that Jesus loved me. Then we got to Houston. I got off the ship. There was no ship for me, so they didn't want to send me to actually to Nigeria, Africa, where the ship was going. So they took me off the ship, and they put me in a 5-star hotel for 5 days all alone. They should have left me in West Palm Beach. It was cheaper. And so I stayed there until my ship came in, this ship, Binago Sound. And so they called me and picked me up and took me to my ship. A few days later on, my friend that went to Nigeria, his ship came back from Nigeria. And guess what they did? They took him off of his ship, put him on my ship. Interesting thing, like in my room, in my cabin. So for a whole year, he tortured me with the gospel of Jesus. And he went back home on vacation. And he left the New Testament in the engine room. And he said, "Sydney, read it." And I did. In February the next year, alone in the engine room, God the Holy Spirit convicted me of my sins. And he redeemed me. He saved me. He regenerated me. He transformed my life. And as a result of that, he called me to preach. But let me just give you a statement here. I didn't know this, but God was leading me to my wife and subsequently to Hope Sound. Because my friend whose wife was a student at Hope Sound Bible College, and my friend was also cousin with my wife, and he said, "Sydney, I have a beautiful young lady who happens to be my cousin, and I know that you like the girls, but this one you cannot get unless you're a Christian." Wow. And so I didn't get saved because of that. Let me just make that clear. All right. As a matter of fact, I wrote her a letter before I became a Christian, and she wrote back to me after I told her I was not. And I said to her that after she thought I was, because we addressed letters very religiously, very Christianly. And she said, "I've been praying that God would send me a young man who is a Christian that we can serve together. I'll give you a chance." I wrote back, "I'm not a Christian." She wrote back and said, "Well, how can two walk together if they don't agree?" Right there, it was stopped. Good for her, right? That really, and she said, "Good for me," because I was honest with her. I could have pretended, but I didn't. And so when I became a Christian, several months later after that letter, I called her. And I said to her, "Jesus saved me. Would you give me a chance to get to know you?" And in the month of May, 1981, Miami Airport, we met for the first time. For her, love at first sight. For me, well, marriage at first sight. Life has never been the same. Those of you that know my wife know exactly what I'm talking about. God has been good. God has been good to us. The power of a witness. God witnessed to my friend through Fred Wingham back in Turks and Caicos Island when he went home on vacation, an FEM missionary. He witnessed to my friend Sam. Sam came back to the ship and witnessed to me. And as a result of that, God has helped us to witness to countless people who've been serving God, preacher, pastors, all over this country and Latin America as well. And so don't underestimate the power of a witness. God is wanting for us to become his representative in the world. And as you think about people you come in contact with, you might say, well, I don't know about that. Just talk to a young lady this evening. And I'm kind of rambling tonight. I'm sorry. I have a message and I'm struggling whether I should preach it or not. I just want to share these thoughts with you. And time is slipping away. So I may just leave you with a few thoughts from that. There's a young lady from the country of Nicaragua. And she came to us as a result of her uncle, Jose. And Jose was a guy that was part of the Nicaraguan Contras during the Reagan administration. And I'll get to that in a few moments, how God works through witnessing. And then this young lady called me this evening, and she says, Brother Sidney, this is Shirley, and I want you to write me a letter of recommendation because I'm getting my status straightened out here in America. And of course, they came here because of that problem as refugees, and so she's trying to now get her papers straightened out after many years. And the first thing I asked her, when did I meet you? What year? And she reminded me of that. And I said, how can I forget? It was 1999 in Hope Sound, all the way from a little town in Nicaragua called Salamahi. And all of a sudden, this young lady came up out of nowhere, right there in Little Hope Sound, and the God of the heaven came down, and in a special service, I remember, I think it was the Rondells were singing a song. He came to me, and that young lady, Shirley, was sitting on the front pew, and right there, the witness of the Holy Spirit came to Shirley, spoke to her heart. Shirley came forward and gave her heart to Jesus. Her husband has been witnessed to in the church that I pastored, got saved, went into a Bible school, studied. He's the assistant pastor in a church in West Palm Beach. But it didn't start with Shirley. It didn't start with Shirley. In 1987, 88, a house next door to the church where I was pastoring, there was a family from Nicaragua. And I would go out on Saturday afternoon to visit and call on people. And this house was one of the first houses. And I would stop there almost every time. And they had several boys. They had a young girl that she used to call me Black Jesus. Black Jesus. I guess all I talked about was Jesus. And I'm black, so she just put both of them together. And so I was Black Jesus. So there you go. But her dad had just gotten here to the United States from Nicaragua. And I was witnessing to Jose. And I told Jose, I said, Jose, do you know Jesus? If you're done and you die, you're going to hell. That was a pretty strong word, but I did. And I left. And some guys that were there with Jose said to Jose, who's that black man think he is? If he comes back here, I'll kill him. And he meant it. I didn't know he said that. I don't want to know. Until several years later, after he was saved. He called me to his home on a Christmas night or sometime during the Christmas. And he said, I want to express my gratitude to you for all that you've meant to me and my family. I had a beautiful table set with all kind of good food. And gave me an envelope with a Christmas card and a gift. And he said, this is not much, but this is an expression of our gratitude to you for witnessing to me. He said, you don't know this. Now I'm going to reveal the story to you. He said, when you came to my house that one time and you witnessed to me about Jesus, he said, I said in my heart, if he ever comes back to my house and talk to me like that, I'll kill him. And he would. I didn't go back. And for some reason, at least that one time when he had planned to kill me, I did go back. And we had a revival. We invited him and his wife and family to come to church. And Jose, this guy who would kill just by looking at you, and came and gave his heart to Jesus. And Jose entered into a Bible Institute, studied, visited his country, the little town of Salamahi, and he met a guy who had been saved and witnessed to that guy. And that guy said, I've been praying. This guy was a Christian, but he didn't know anything but holiness. And he said, I witnessed to that guy, and he looked at me and said, you know, What you're sharing with me is what I've been praying about for many years, that God would connect me with someone that really knows about holiness. This guy had found, he was part of a revival that took place in Nicaragua, and then he found a book on John Wesley's 52 sermon and read that book from cover to cover and said, "This is what I want." Jose went back, witnessed to this guy, read the book, received Jesus, at least the message of holiness in his heart. And then Jose come back excited and said, "We have a guy in Nicaragua that wants to join us to help us start churches in Nicaragua." And the rest of the story is Julio Villarreina is now our national leader in Nicaragua. We have had several TLC trips to Nicaragua. We've had some of our mission students also to this little town. And the reason why I'm sharing that with you, because I'm talking about the power of witnessing, of sharing Jesus with other people. Now, here we are. How can we wrap all of this up? This church, to my knowledge, has always been a missionary-supporting church. As I was president, director of HIM and FEA, I've signed many, many times letters of thank you to this local church for how you've supported our missionaries, the Coons and different ones now, that David Black, David and Christina Black, and others. So I'm very grateful for what you've done. But we must keep that. We must cultivate that. And so one thing I want to conclude with tonight is to let you know that when you give, you're not just giving a dollar or $50 or $100. You're actually investing in the kingdom of God. You're actually investing in the lives of people. You may just give to a missionary, but that missionary is investing in many, many others. So your dollar, your $50 is going all over the world because of that investment. So your investment is being compounded, actually. It's not just given to one person, but the interest from that is being compounded and going from people to people and nation to nation. Because in Honduras, Eric Coons is sharing the gospel, him and Hannah, and now they're in Nicaragua. They're going down to South America. They've just been to Colombia to explore the possibility of starting a church in South America. So what I'm saying to you tonight, keep on investing, because you are investing in expanding the kingdom of Jesus Christ, not just in Honduras, but globally. So may God help us to realize that when Jesus said to us in his word that occupy until I come, the word occupy means do business. Do business until I come. Invest. Make sure that what I give you, it is compounded, is multiplied, is expanded. And when you give, you're literally helping that to take place. And as we look at that whole thing, as we bring this to close, and as witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ, my challenge to you is Acts 1:8. And that's what I believe that God has called us to do at Hope Sound Bible College in the missions department, is to make sure that we're helping our young people to understand that missions is not about going overseas. Missions is all about being witnesses for Jesus Christ wherever he finds you, wherever he places you. And that means you start at Jerusalem. You start where you are acquainted, the familiar places. Sometimes we think, and I know that there's a missiological definition of missions, which, and I believe that and I teach it, but I also believe that if you can't do missions here, if you can't be a witness here, if you can't do outreach here, you will not do it in other countries. So we started our Jerusalem. That's where I got started. That's where God dealt with me through a friend of mine who was saved. And he was familiar with me. He was familiar with the environment. And he didn't wait until God called him to a pulpit to preach. And he's a wonderful preacher. He began to share the gospel right there in the engine room with me. And so then we need to realize that God calls us to be witnesses. But Sam went on back to the Turks and Caicos Island, and he's now a leader in what is called a Baptist Union in the Turks and Caicos Island, a tremendous preacher, a wonderful brother in the Lord, and we applaud what God has called him to do. But when I go back and he would talk to me, he said, "Sidney, you have gone places I'll never go. You have done things I would never do." Said, "I'm just stuck here in a little island called Turks and Caicos." But he said, "I used to tell the people, my people," said, "you know what? I've never been much places in my life. But I have a friend that I shared the gospel with. He has been to 80 countries sharing the gospel and good news of Jesus Christ." You never know whom you're investing in. We have to be faithful. Witnessing, investing. And leave the rest up to the Lord. God has a great harvest, and we need to be available and be ready to do what he calls us to do. May God help us to be his witnesses. in our world. Father, take these few thoughts, the testimony from our young people, the songs that have been sung, and somehow, Lord, may they resonate in our hearts and our minds, that we would not be at ease just going through life by being Christian, but help us to be witnessing Christian for your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Grant. My heart beats with that message. How about you? All of us, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are called. You are called. We're to be witnesses for Jesus. And I thank you for that message. And thank you, young people, for sharing with us tonight. We're going to receive an offering at this time for Hope Sound Bible College. And they've traveled a lot of miles here, and there's a lot of costs involved with them coming this way. So we want to definitely help take care of them and also just help with the needs of the school. We believe in Christian education. Am I right? I know we do. And so let's just dig deep tonight, and let's give as unto the Lord. Gentlemen, go ahead.